All right. So good to see all of you here this morning. And for those who are watching us online, we welcome you. Welcome home. Amen. For those who are here, this is your home. And for those who are looking for a home, this could be your home. Amen. So we welcome you to this morning at Oceans United. And happy Easter, everyone. And why don't we take 10 seconds. I won't say 1 minute, but let's take 10 seconds to greet someone next to us. Turn behind us and just greet somebody. Awesome. Awesome. Isn't that wonderful to see so many faces this morning? I'm remembering a little bit of 2 years back when during COVID time where we couldn't have a service. Like where we invited people, we were online, but it bothered me so much that I'm like, I don't want to be speaking to people, and to no one, to empty chairs. I've done it for a long time, and I'm like, no more. So we brought in several puppets. We have those puppets. We lined them up right there in the front row, and I preached to those puppets. While those who are watching us online as well. So anyway, but this morning it brings so much joy to me as the pastor of Oceans United. For those who are here for the very first time, my name is Shannon Panthin. I'm the pastor of Oceans United. Welcome here. Welcome to our service here this morning. And I believe God has got a word. You know, we say this a lot. Preachers, they say this a lot. God's got a word for you. But I mean it this morning. Okay? I'm telling you this because God has truly got a word this morning for all of us. Because this message, I changed this message like 3-4 times before I published that last night onto our app. And even this morning when I woke up, there was something else. And I'm like, Lord, when are we going to stop? And when am I going to finalize the message when it's going to be, guess what? It's never finalized. Right. It's never finalized until the Holy Spirit comes in and takes over, right? And I'm inviting Him this morning to actually take over. Amen? Are we okay with that in church where we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do as He pleases? And that's what we want here this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for sending Your Son to die for us, to give us life and life more abundantly, because You did not remain on that cross and You did not remain in that tomb, that this morning the tomb is empty. Amen. And we celebrate that, Lord. We celebrate this abundant life that can be found only in You. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. We're going to read from verse 19. If you are here on Good Friday, I would say you are a step ahead. And if you were not here, and you're today's the first day joining us in this Easter service, which started on Friday, really. You'll see a theme. A theme. There's a thread that God set forth from Good Friday all the way to today. So if you were not here, you'll need to catch up a little bit. And I'm going to help you along the way. All right? So before we go to Colossians, I'm going to read... I'm going to read something to you before then. Matthew 28. I'm just going to read it. It's not going to be on the screen. That's the one thing that God did this morning. Don't be afraid. Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? When God, this is an angel speaking to the women, and he's actually saying, don't be afraid. And this is something that we need to know and remember in 2022. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body is lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. Amen. Today, the tomb is empty. He is not there. And as I was preparing the message, I was remembering my very first Easter service. My very first Easter service was in March 30th, 1997. It was at my church, my home church back in England, Kensington Temple in Notting Hill, England. I was sitting there on that Sunday all by myself, I mean amongst brothers and sisters, but in my as far as my family, I was the only one there. And I still remember this powerful message from Pastor Colin Dye. And as I sat there, my mind went somewhere else. My mind went to a dark place. Isn't that crazy? How our minds can actually do this. My mind, as I was sitting there listening, it went to a dark place. A place where my past overshadowed everything. A place where there was no hope. A place where I was lost. That might be perhaps, you know, some of you here this morning. Well, you feel like you're here physically, but your mind is somewhere else. Where you might be even be lost in your thoughts as you're processing all of this. And I know it's a lot to take in. Because believe me, when I was there on that day, it was a whole lot to take in. I was a new believer. I was in my 20s, but I was a new believer. I just received Christ just a few months ago. And that was my very first Easter service. And the place was packed. And I remember just sitting there and just receiving what the pastor was saying as I was reflecting on my life. As you know, many of you know this, I was born Hindu. Never knew Christ. And truthfully, I was on my way to hell. I mean, just to give you some context of my past, I was born and raised Hindu, and my family dabbled in sorcery. Dabble in sorcery. Every wicked Hindu ritual that you can imagine, we practice it. We did it all. In fact, my name was given to me and my family, my dad, by sorcerer. Little did I know that this name meant something years down the road. If I told you the name this morning, I was going to put it out on the screen, but this is something that came in this morning. My name is Eganaden. E-G-A-N-A-D-E-N. When I was born, my dad took me to this Hindu priest. He looked into this book. He lined up the stars and the moon, and he said, "This is what you must name this child." Up to this day, I carry the same name. I carried that name for years, to the point that I was so ashamed of it that not even Dawn knew my name when we met. We were in college, and I would hide this name from everyone until one day I came to the full realization of what the meaning, the true meaning of that name was. That name means servant of one God. Can you imagine being born Hindu, serving a million gods, I mean literally a million gods? My name was given by someone who called me by my true name. A servant of one God. Of one God. I hold this name today with great pride because I know this is who I am. A servant of one God. But that morning, that Sunday morning, March 30th, 1997, I had no idea of that meaning of that name. That name brought a lot of shame, and I was reflecting of all of these. And being born Hindu came with a price. When you become a Christian, giving your life to Christ from Hinduism, that means that you have to let go of things. Some things were very close to me. Some relationships, some friendships. It came with a price. It came with a rejection of my very own family. My past was filthy. My past was ugly. I felt that day when I was sitting there listening to this message that I did not even deserve to sit there. I did not deserve God's grace. I did not deserve to be in His presence because I was remembering all of this. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit was at work. I don't think it was the enemy that was doing this. It was the Holy Spirit bringing these things to me to bring me to a point where that message will sound so powerful to me. You know, God has a way of touching our lives, bringing us to the point where we can cry out to Him because He's the only way. That moment, that Sunday when I was sitting there, I came to the point where I was only looking unto Jesus. And I was saying, "Jesus, would you erase that past? Would you bring me back to you, the place where I belong?" Because I knew that He saved my life. Just a few years prior to this. But I was like, "Lord, show me something new. Show me something that I hadn't read before that I don't even know." Mind you, I was just a brand new believer. Brand new to the Word. Brand new to the Bible. Then the preacher went straight to this passage that we're about to read this morning. In Colossians 1. Starting with verse 19. It says, "For God, in all His fullness, was pleased to live in Christ." That means that God became flesh and He lived in Christ, in Jesus. The fullness of God was in Christ. And the fullness of God came and dwelt among us. That is the message. God came and dwelled among us. And through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. Everything to Himself. The Greek word for everything is everything. Everything He reconciled to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven, on earth, by means of Christ's blood on the cross. The word reconcile in a biblical context means to bring everything in harmony. To bring everything in agreement. To bring everything in unity. This harmony can only exist because of the blood of Christ. If it was not for the blood of Christ, there is no unity. Today we are united as one family, because of the blood of Christ. Even the name Oceans United is oceans apart that are united as one because of the blood of Christ. Can you imagine us as a church, for those who are brand new here, that are very first, you know, new to the island or even new to Oceans United, we were two separate churches under two separate denominations. Assemblies of God and Church of God, but somehow God saw it fit to join together something that could not have happened in the natural, brought the two united in harmony, united in agreement because of the blood of Christ. Today I'm looking at my brothers and sisters because of the blood of Christ. Even though that day when I felt like I was being abandoned by my very own family, I felt like I was surrounded by brothers and sisters, newly found brothers and sisters in Christ. I was no longer alone. I was on my way home. Sitting there that day, I caught a glimpse of what the meaning, the true meaning of the blood of Christ, of what it meant for me. Personally, then the pastor, in his thick British accent, said this: "This includes you." When he said that, I felt like he was looking right at me. I felt like he was looking right at me when he said, "This includes you." Felt it was me. Then he kept on reading Colossians 1:21. He says, "This includes you who were far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts, by your evil actions. And yet now, today, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence." Today you're sitting here, Christ himself is there with you. You are seated now in the presence of God Almighty himself. He has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless. And as you stand before him, you stand without a single fault. I mean, I can pause on this. We can linger there for a while here. If you're here this morning and you're wondering, "Pastor, how could this be? Holy? Are you serious? Blameless? Without fault? Are you sure you're reading the Word of God? Are you sure you're getting this from the Bible?" I'm so glad you ask. Because guess what? Yes, you are. And here's why. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation." In Christ, you are a new creation. All things, the things of your past, they're gone. They're behind you. No matter what you've gone through in your past today, it's behind you. Today, you stand before Christ blameless, without a single fault. That's what the word says. He says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Reconciliation begins with Christ. That's the only way that you can be reconciled with Him, is because of Christ. It is because of the cross. It is because of the blood of Christ. When you let go of your old self, and when you embrace the new. I know my old self, and I'm so glad I let go of my old self. Because my old self was my past. My old self had no hope. My old self declared me guilty. But my new self in Christ said, I am blameless. I am holy. I'm without fault. That's what my new self says about me. So why would you hold on to this old self? Why would you drag behind you a bag of bones that God is saying, let go? Embrace the new self, that is the new you. And hang on, there's more. There's more where the word speaks the truth. If today we don't speak the word of God, why are we even celebrating Easter Sunday? If it is outside of the scope of the word of God, we are wasting our time. We're here for the wrong reason. 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it goes on, it says, for he made him. God made him. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's how we become righteous. It is because of Christ. Righteousness means you are in right standing with God. And the only way we can be in right standing with God is because of the blood of Christ. It is that blood that puts us in right standing with Him, that we can be holy, that we can be blameless, that we can be without a single fault. That spot where you're sitting right now has been paid for by the blood of Christ. Where you're sitting right now, the enemy cannot condemn you, because there's a blood of Christ that has been sprinkled on that seat. Today you're seated in the heavenly places with Him. In Christ Jesus you're seated. Without fault. Holy, blameless. That's where you're seated. Not because of yourself, not because of your good looks, not because of your good deeds. It's because of the price that was paid on the cross for you and for me. That day when I sat there, my eyes were open. I realized that it was nothing to do with me. It was all about Jesus. What He has accomplished for me and for you on that cross is freeing. That is our freedom. Where we don't have to hold on to this old self anymore. We can embrace the brand new one that is found in Christ. And we can stand before Him without condemnation. Hang on, there's more. There's more. There's more. I mean, I know you want to come here and get your money's worth this morning. It's Easter Sunday. There's more. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation. When you are in Christ, the enemy cannot come and accuse you of your past. He can't. He can't. He has no authority to do so. He has been stripped from every single authority on that cross. Everything was stripped away from Him. If the devil was smart enough, he would have never put Christ on that cross. But he's so dumb. He doesn't even understand the whole scope of what God was going to do. Had he known? had he known the power of that cross, had he known the power of an empty tomb, he would have done something else. But today we are victorious because of this word that we're reading right now, that we are blameless before God because of the blood of Christ, because of the blood of Jesus. We sit here blameless. That day I was soaking all in, like hopefully you are doing here this morning. I was soaking all in, like by faith, because all of these things were fairly new to me. I did not know that there was a Christ, a Jesus, that would do that much for me, that would declare that I was blameless. I did not know this. I thought that even though I received Christ, there must be something that I must do to receive his love, to make him love me more. And I come to realize that there's nothing that I can do to make Christ love me more. He's done it all. He did it on the cross. He did it on the cross for me. He did it on the cross for you. I took it all in by faith. And this morning I'm asking you to do the same thing. It might be a whole lot, but would you just receive it by faith? Would you allow faith inside of you to rise up and receive the words of God that sets people free, that gives you access to Him, His holy presence? It's that kind of freedom that we're talking about. I don't want you to leave this place like, oh, this is just another Easter service. I want you to leave this place changed because of the Word of God. The Word that you're hearing. The Word that you're receiving. The Word that can only transform you and make you more and more like Him. Jesus tells us a story about a son. A son that was lost, but who eventually found his way home. In Luke chapter 15, we read this famous story about this son called the prodigal son. And this morning we're going to go over this story. In verse 11 it says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my portion, the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." Prodigal living. Now that's a word that we don't use every day, right? We don't go around and say, well, he's living in a prodigal lifestyle. He's a prodigal. That's not a word that we use very commonly, right? But prodigal living simply means living a life that is without restraint, without any restraint, without any boundaries, without any authority. Living a loose life. Prodigal living simply means a life that is of sinful nature, that contradicts everything that is written in the Word of God. Everything. That is a lifestyle that is so far away from the standard and the morals of God that it is separate from Him. That is the true meaning of that word prodigal. The question I have this morning is, can a son, can a daughter be at home and still be a prodigal? Think about that for a moment. Can a son, can a daughter still be at home and still live a life that is unrestrained? No boundaries, no authority. The answer is absolutely yes. Prodigal living starts in the heart. It starts there. It starts with an attitude. That's why when my kids give me a little bit of attitude, that's why I straighten the attitude. There's a proper way of straightening an attitude. Even in a soccer game, there's a certain attitude that we need to call out when it needs to be called out. Happened just yesterday. Well, the captain of the team needed to be called out. I did like any good father would do. I mean, from the stand, stop! To the point that even the ref heard me. I heard my name being mentioned a few times. I'm very loud at games. But that's the only way that you can correct. Prodigal living starts at home. It's a heart issue. Look at the way the son demands his birthright. Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. In the Jewish culture, when a young man comes and asks the father for his inheritance before the father dies, is an insult. It's like as if the son is wishing that his dad, his father, have died. He's wishing death upon his father by coming prematurely and asking, give me what is rightfully mine. And then he goes on, he says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. He had planned this trip to this far country for a long time. He's for longest time, he's already packed his bags. He already knew where he was going. He's already GPS location, the place where he's going. He planned his route. He already knew where he was going, who he was going to hang around with. He planned that journey, just like prodigal living. It's a planned trip. It's a planned trip that leads to sin. Now let me say something that might shock a lot of you here this morning, if we haven't done that already. People don't just fall into sin. People don't just fall into sin. I know we say this. This is an expression that we use a lot. Oh, we just fell into sin. Sin is a planned journey. It's a planned journey. Just like this son, he planned his journey. His bags were packed. He already called in his inheritance. He's already done the math. This is how much an apartment in New York City was going to cost me. I don't know why I bring up New York City, because I love New York City. But he already made his plans. He knew exactly where he was going. He knew exactly how much things were going to cost, the cost of living. He planned it that way. Because sin is a planned journey. No one just accidentally lie. No one just say, you know, I just accidentally just lied. I accidentally just sow discord among my brothers and my sisters. It's a planned journey. No one just accidentally commit adultery. I just woke up in somebody else's bed. It doesn't happen like that. It's a planned journey. Can't believe I just said that. Happy Easter, everybody. Welcome to Oceans United, the place where we make you feel good. Here's the truth about sin. It separates you from God. It separates you from God. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, your iniquities, which is sin that are hidden, that are in the heart, in the mind, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. It separates you from God. The exact reason why there's the cross is to bring you close to Him. Sin is a choice. Sin is a planned journey away from the cross. God made a plan to fix that separation. God didn't want you to be separated from Him. The original plan was for you and me to always be together, united with Him, in 100% fellowship with Him, walking, talking with God 24/7. That was God's plan. But sin came into the scene. Satan came and introduced sin to man. That robbed us of God's ultimate plan for man and Him to be together, fellowshipping together. But God had another plan to make sure that this relationship could be reconciled. That's the reason why me, as a Hindu, I became reconciled with Him. Never thought. A guy that would dabble in sorcery. A guy that was born in deep roots of Hinduism, where I practice everything that you can think of. God saw it fit to call me by my name. God saw fit to remind me of what He did for me on that cross. I believe God is reminding you this morning of what He did just for you on that cross on Easter Sunday, 2022. God had a plan. His plan is John 3:16 and 17. He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. God did not have condemnation in His mind. God had reconciliation in His mind. God wanted you and Him to be reconciled, back as a family, united as one. Jesus was, and Jesus is, and Jesus will always be the answer. That can never change. Can never change. From this passage that we read in John 3:16, we see the love of a Father. The unconditional love of the Father. Not to condemn, not to judge, but to save, to reconcile. I believe we see the same pattern here in the Father's love, in the story of the prodigal son. I believe the Father waited for His Son with great anticipation, knowing that His Son would one day come back home. I don't know if you can picture this, but I believe the Father was at the window every time looking for His Son to return home. He was waiting because He made a way for them to be reconciled and not to be judged. The story goes that many years later, the prodigal son, his inheritance dwindled down to absolutely nothing. He had no money, no friends, nobody to hang out with, no home, no food, no hope. But finally, he came to his senses. He came to his senses. I remember the time when I came to my senses. I came to my senses after I got drunk one day. Hallelujah. I was in Wales, England, and I come out of a pub and totally drunk. Found my way to a church, meeting a few friends of mine in this church. Had no idea I didn't want to be in a church, but that was the meeting place. Met my friends in the church. At the end, I walked up to the altar without even being invited. So if anybody wants to do it today, I mean, you're welcome. I just walk up to the pastor, and I think I freaked them out a little bit. Because I walked up to him, and he pushed his mic on the other side. He's like, "Can I help you? I'm here to receive Christ. You've called my name. And I'm here. I need direction in my life. I need hope. I need to know that someone cares about me." And that's how I found Christ. Thank God I did not hit rock bottom. Just like the prodigal son. Many of us, we want to hit rock bottom before we cry out for help. We don't have to. You don't have to hit rock bottom before you cry out for God to come in and rescue you. And here's how you do it. You be honest. Honesty is the easiest way to get back to God. If you don't get anything out of this message this morning and you want to tune me out, at least get this part. Honesty is the only way back home. Honesty is the only way back home to the Father. The Son, he was honest with himself. So I'm asking you this morning to be honest with yourself. Just like I was honest with myself. That evening, right before I got on the train to head back to London, I was honest too with myself. I knew I was in a place where I don't belong. I was in the right place at church, but here, that prodigal living, that unrestrained lifestyle that I had, was not right with God. It separated me from Him. It allowed the enemy to come in and to rob me of my destiny, the plan that God had for my life. And at that moment, God was asking me, would you be honest with yourself? James 1, 23 and 24 says this, "For if you listen to the word and don't obey." It's like you knowing the truth, but choosing to ignore it. The word said it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. It's like you glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away and forget what you look like. The question I have for you this morning is, does your life, your lifestyle reflect God's best for you? If it doesn't, don't just walk away. Don't just walk away. I believe today the Holy Spirit is asking you to take a second look. To take a second look. Number two, be honest with God. But if we confess our sins to Him, that is being honest with God. He's faithful to just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. In the New King James, it says, from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness sets you apart from God. Because righteousness is right standing with Him. So the opposite is not in right standing with God. But when you confess, when you are honest with God, He's faithful. He's not coming to condemn, because that contradicts who He is. He's a loving Father who is waiting for His son, who is waiting for His daughters to come back home, to be reconciled back to Him the way that He intended us to be. Listen to how the Father responded when His son came back home. He could have said, I told you so. He could. He could have said, you brought this upon yourself, son. You did it. And he would have been 100% right. But there is so much to be said in what the Father did not say. So much to be said in how the Father was restrained in the way that he approached his son. He was careful. He was careful. He did not want to hurt his son. That Sunday when I was there, I felt the love of God. He didn't care about my past. I felt the love of God just over me, embracing me and welcoming me back to Him. It was as if He was saying, you are mine. I died for you. You are mine. In verse 22 we read, it says, but the Father said to His servants, bring out the best robe and put it on Him. Bring out the best robe and put it on Him. The robe that we're talking about is the robe of righteousness. Just like we are clothed in God's righteousness. So the symbolic meaning of the best robe is the best that God could offer was the robe of righteousness that is found in His Son, Jesus. The very first thing that the Father does is to put you in right standing with Him. That's the love of the Father. If you've been gone away from Him, the very first thing He does is to clothe you in righteousness. Said, stand beside me. Stand beside me. Then He put a ring on His hand and sandals on His feet. The ring is symbolic for the signet that they would carry. That was the family name. Remember, He said, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. I'm not even worthy to carry the family's name. I brought so much shame on our family's name. Could that be one of us here this morning? Where we feel like we brought so much shame on our family that we are not worthy to come back home. The Father took that ring, that signet of His name, and put that on His finger, the finger of His son. You are worthy to carry my family name. When we put on the ring that we're talking about here in this story, we're putting on the ring that carries the name that is above all other names. that at the mention of his name, mountains must bow down. That is the authority of God's name. God restored that so that you can carry that authority. And then he put sandals on his feet. You see, when you're a slave, you don't wear sandals. You go barefoot. So the son said, I'm okay if you call me a slave. I'm okay if you put me over there and deal with the servants. I'm okay with that. Let me be a slave. At least let me come back home. But the father put sandals on his feet, calling him a son, not a slave. The sandals are the sandals of sonship. You are now a son. You are now a daughter. You're coming back home. Fully restored. Fully restored. Fully reconciled. And just like what we read in our opening scripture in Colossians 1. You see the connection? Colossians 1 and Luke chapter 15. Talking about a full restoration. A full reconciliation. In verse 22, he says, as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. The father brought his son into his own presence. He came back home, he was filthy. But he was still worthy to be in the presence of his father. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him. Without a single fault. Would you please stand? And as you're standing, you're standing holy. You're standing in the presence of God, holy, blameless, without a single fault. I'm going to take you back to England as we close. That Sunday when I sat there, the tears of sorrow because of my family's rejection, they turned to tears of joy. And I remember that song that they played at the end. The cross before me and the world behind me. And I'm not turning back. And I remember they played that song. And there were just tears just flowing down my face. Because I found a brand new family. It was called the church. Where I was surrounded by people that became family to me. I didn't realize that there was so much love in that room because of the unconditional love of God. I believe this kind of love is here at our church. An unconditional love that can only be found from Jesus. The same kind of love that he shows to each and every one of us when we do fall short. I hope I'm not the only one who would actually fall short. Even to this day. But each and every time, I can always find my way home. I can always find my way home. I've never allowed the enemy to come and blind me with my past and tell me that you're not worthy to come back home. I'm hoping that that could be you this morning, saying, I'm coming back home. I'm coming back home. I'm letting go of this past. In just a little bit, we're gonna pray and we're gonna worship for a little bit more. Still very early, okay? We still got a couple of hours to go. I hope you got that crock pot setting on low. I'm gonna pray, and if you need to be dismissed, that will be fine. But we're gonna worship. The worship leader is gonna come, and we're gonna worship. And we're gonna have a time where we're gonna have an altar time, a time where we're gonna pray. I want to pray for you, just like this pastor prayed for me when he looked at me, all confused, says, can I help you? I believe some of us need help this morning. Some of us need some kind of encouragement here this morning. We've come here carrying a burden. And this is the place where we leave that burden. And we go home free. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, the gift of righteousness, the gift of your name, the authority of your name, the gift of sonship, that today we are reconciled with you because of the cross, because of the blood. That, Lord, that we will not leave this place the same way we came in. That we are leaving the past behind. And we are embracing a new life in you. If you're here and you've never, you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. You need him. A life without him is a life that is eternally separated from him. You don't want to be separated from your Father. We want to pray with you. Let's worship, and then we can be dismissed.